book in terms of the content. Tell me about three things. One, you have a couple of co-authors in this. Who wrote the foreword and who did the illustrations for you?
Oh, good questions. In reverse order, the illustrations were done by Joshua Smith, who did the illustrations of the previous Hockey Abstract 2014. And
okay.
He's a funny guy. A lot of people love the
yep.
illustrations, and they love the...
They fit the book.
Yeah.
They fit the tone, they fit the book. It's
yeah.
perfect.
It's a fun book, and he's a fun yeah. guy, and he's got a great great sense of humor there, and he does a great job with it every year. And actually, in the previous books, he also designed the covers.
Okay.
This cover, of course, was designed by the publisher, ECW Press.
Sure.
And then I guess the first question, what was the second question? Was
the second question, who wrote the foreword?
The foreword, Down Goes Brown, if you've
okay.
heard of Sean McKindle,
yep.
who also came to that conference in Calgary, by the way, that we discussed early in the show. He was also at
mm-hmm.
that, but you know him from ESPN, from Grantland, from Sportsnet, all over the place. He wrote the foreword, and also I think that sets the tone, because it wasn't a statistician, it wasn't a former hockey player, it was essentially a superfan.
Right.
I mean, people love him because he's a superfan, and that's who the book is for, so that's why he was selected, and you know he's a huge fan of this stuff. A lot of people don't realize that about him, but he's a huge fan of the stats and the analytics, and
yep.
and of course he loves having a good time with it. So he did a great job on the foreword, actually. If you're in the bookstore and you're not sure, just read his foreword. He does a great job.
And you had a couple of co-authors with you, or a couple of contributors, I guess, is probably yep. the best way to describe it.
Yeah, Tom Awad and Ian Fife. You know, a lot of people that you read about in hockey analytics, they've really only come along in the last couple of years. But Ian, I met him last century. He was the first guy to write a hockey analytics blog. At the time, it was called Puck Rings. Not there anymore. This is in the late 90s. And I met him, and my first publishing credit in hockey was in the Hockey Research Journal. It was a co-author credit that he gave me in the Hockey Research Journal back in 2000. And here I am, returning the favor, giving him a co-author credit in StatShot.
Very cool. Ian Fife?
Oh, that's Ian Fife. Sorry,
I thought
yeah.
that was Tom. Okay, I'm mixing
yeah.
up Tom and Ian. Perfect. Ian, right. Ian. Yeah,
that's
okay.
Ian, yeah. And Tom is one of those math geniuses that can see the matrix.
okay.
Sometimes people accuse me of being one of those, but no, there's a whole other level of Rain Men above me, and that's Tom. But his gift is he's able, first of all, he's very patient with people that don't maybe understand numbers as well as he does, which is the entire planet.
Right.
And furthermore, he just has a way of expressing his ideas in a way that really anyone can enjoy and everyone can make sense of. But if you don't know Tom, you might know his work. Goals versus Threshold, GVT, that's Tom.
We're coming to that in a second. One last technical book writing note. And I know you well enough to know that this is not something that you take lightly, but in the importance of a book like this, the footnotes and the proper, crediting the proper sources and things like that, that is incredibly detailed in this book.
That's important to me. Even in the other books, you'll notice.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah.
To me, it is absolutely, absolutely critical to cite your sources, to explain where your concepts came from. And first of all, I think it's important just as a professional aspect. But it's also important because as a reader, if you're, reading about a certain concept or a certain stat or a certain study,
right.
you might want to know more. You might want to see all the math. You might want to see all the details behind it. And some of these are really hard to find on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And the links let you go directly and see that. But it is incredibly important to me to promote the work that everyone does in this field. And this is a great forum to share it.
Rob Volman, the author of StatShot, our guest here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, the book available in bookstores and online as we speak. Let's get into it. And again, I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give too much of it away because I think it's important that people read it. But it is a book about analytics, or it's a book about hockey using analytics.
Right.
One of the first, once you get into the book, one of the first things that you cover is capturing a player value in single metric. And you just mentioned what I wanted to ask you about. Mm-hmm. I believe your go-to in the book is goals versus threshold. As a catch-all, is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, these are very popular in baseball. Harder to do in hockey just because of the nature of the sport. There's puck battles all over the ice instead of just pitcher batter. But for those of you who actually have a copy, on page 24 through 26, I actually list all the alternatives to GVT. If
right.
for some reason you don't like GVT. And there's links to where you get all the details behind all these stats, including GVT. And also, in the original Hockey Abstract, I have a chapter about how to build your own. So you can build your own stat if you don't like GVT or one of these
mm-hmm.
other alternatives. And some front offices build their own. Several of them use GVT. And but yeah, one of the first steps when you're trying to build a team using stats is to find a way to capture all of a player's contributions, whether it's offensive or defensive.
Right.
And in this sense, in terms of goals scored and prevented, relative to the threshold of a replacement level player. So basically, if Gaudreau gets hurt, what happens? Well, one player will get moved up and get to play on the top line.
Okay.
A fourth liner will move up to sort of the second or third line. Someone will get called up from the AHL. And if you add up sort of the difference between what Gaudreau would have done and what those three people do with their new assignments,
mm-hmm.
the difference is Gaudreau's GBT.
Okay, and how would that be expressed? Give us a. Can you give us an example of the number, the actual physical number for a player? Or?
Sure. Well, Sidney Crosby, I think, is the player I use as an example in the book.
Okay.
I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but let's say it's 21.6. That might actually be right, and I'll spook you, but let's just say it's 21.6. So
right.
If Crosby has a goals versus threshold of 21.6, that means if you take Crosby out of the lineup for an entire season, Pittsburgh's goal differential will be 21.6 worse. And in Crosby's case, it's probably all going to be goals scored. So you're going to be 21 fewer goals scored.
Okay. The kind of the first chapter is the best way to build a team. Rob, is this... How would you describe this? Is this opinion or is this fact? How would you describe the chapter?
Yeah, I guess more correctly it would be how can you use numbers to help you in the team building process? Because, you know, you're going to use your scouts, you're going to use your coaches, you're going to use all those different methods. How can you incorporate numbers into this? How can you even...
Yeah.
Like if I just say 21.6 and put that on a table in front of you, well, what do you do with that? How do you incorporate that? So basically it's how to take all this information and tie it in, it together on how to build a team. And this isn't a purely a fictional exercise. I have had opportunities to work with a few NHL teams on a consulting basis, and I know what they do, and I've advised them on some of these things.
Right.
And even if teams don't do it exactly this way, all the components of a team-building model I cover. They might do it differently, but they have the exact same components.
Hmm. Because, part of it, the chapter is, you know, the first thing you would do if you were to build a team.
Is that where the poster on the wall thing?
Yep.
Yeah, the very first thing I do, like if some team hires me tomorrow, the first thing I do is I put a poster on the wall. I write 2020 at the top, and I fill out the roster, and I say, this is how you're going to win the Stanley Cup in 2020. Some of the names I'm writing in pen, others are in pencil. And then basically everything that I do is working towards making that 2020 Stanley Cup team an actual Stanley Cup team.
How much of that chapter, how much of what was talked about in there has fluctuated, changed, or been adapted over time? I mean, you wrote it essentially here in recent time, but you've been doing this for a while.
Right.
If I had asked you a similar question a decade ago, before anybody heard about this, before anybody was talking about it, before it was, you know, really part of what we do now, would the structure, would the framework, would the ideas be the same?
Yes, the framework is timeless. What changes is that we get better at certain areas. We get better ways to measure a player in one number. We get more accurate understandings of how players change over time.
Right.
We get, more accurately we can understand how much of a player's performance is based on skill and how much it's based on random variation. In fact, one of my favorite parts of this chapter, if I was reading it and didn't write it, one of my favorite parts is a lot of people, when they hear the phrase regression to the mean or random variation, they panic a bit. And it's actually very simple. It's actually very simple concepts once someone takes the time to show you. So I took a few extra pages to lay out those concepts in ways that everyone can do now. You don't even need to trust me. I hate the fact people have to trust me when I say, hey, it's 21.6. I'd prefer if you could just do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Rob, I'm going to skip ahead. There's a couple of chapters that we're going to talk about. Not all of them, again, but a couple. One of them is, and I'm glad you put it in here, because I think this is one of those arguments that I've heard before. Oh, yeah. They can do it for NHL players. Oh, sure, but you can't do it in leagues or, you know, junior. You can't do it in junior. Oh, yeah, no, wait a minute. You can. You can. And I just want to ask you one question out of the chapter, what do players' juniors' numbers tell us? I came away kind of emboldened but somewhat enlightened to the role of age.
Yes.
Is that in terms of that particular topic, is that maybe the biggest factor?
I think right now that's the right takeaway. I think that's the discovery most people are ready to make next, is that age is huge. Not just years, but even months. And it's a massive... When you're looking at rookies, we're looking at young players.
Yep.
For example, there's the question you gave me, I think, a while back about, well, why didn't Roman Cervenka work? Because his numbers in Europe were great.
Right.
And my answer to you was, yeah, but they weren't great until he was 22. I mean, when he was young, his numbers just weren't there. Whereas if you compare it to other people that are successful at 18, at 19, it's a whole different ballgame. And recently, we were talking about Jimmy Vesey. It was the same sort of thing. And people are trying to compare Vesey to Eichel or Gaudreau. But those players, the latter two, they were successful at 18. They were dominating a league with full-grown men.
Right.
And Vesey didn't start doing it until he was 21 or 22. And so there's a big difference between that Hobie Baker winner and the other two.
Yeah, and that's not just picking on one guy. That's, again, going back with reams of data.
Right.
And the examples in the book are... Yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Well,
I mean, the example in the book is pretty enlightening.
Yeah, we also went back to 2004 because that allows you to actually see what actually happened to all those players. We've had, you know, over 10 years to sort of see. That's one of the examples where it's fine that I wrote the book a year ago because that gives you the time to see how these players developed and whether this model was on the mark.